As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Shooter Magooter. I got to reintroduce everybody since it's been so long.
It feels like it's been a long time. I actually had to kind of do like a mind trick of my own because the listeners had content.
That's true.
But we haven't done shit.
No.
Oh, you did a lot, but not podcast related.
Well, yeah, I was on my honeymoon in Italy, and I tried to keep people updated a little bit here and there on the page. If you follow my food account, it was very active. I was doing pizza reviews and shit.
Yep.
It was the best trip of my entire life. Dev and I had an absolute blast. We cooked with an Italian family one night in the cliffs of Rio Maggiore. That was one of the most special experiences of my life. Definitely my favorite culinary experience I've ever had. The food was incredible. Our Airbnbs were ridiculous. It was just like 10 perfect days. And the minute I got off the flight today, I was like, man, you know what I need to do? I got to get back in the studio with my bro because we got some content to put out.
Two things you had to do. You have to get back in the stew and you have to get a cheesesteak.
Yeah, I did.
Which you did.
I did
so
both
you're
of
two
those.
For two. Good job.
Well, you got to, you know, the first thing I did when I got back was go to Wawa. I showered first.
Mm-hmm.
I had to shower off the airport. Then I went to Wawa, got a coffee with the Muscle Milk, and then ordered a cheesesteak. So I'm back.
Back full Philly.
Full Philly. It took me 45 minutes to be back. And Dev and I were talking about it. It was the most magical, wonderful trip ever. But there is something about coming home. And Louie, the dog, that was awesome to see him. He was so excited, and we missed him. So, you know what? It's nice to be home.
Yep.
But wonderful trip.
Good. No complaints. No notes, no complaints.
Actually, I have lots of notes in my brand new Italian leather-bound notebook.
Holy shit, I didn't see you flip that thing out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought this in Montepulciano. I'm going to be saying a lot of fancy words.
It's not fancy words. It's just an Italian city.
Yeah, but I said it, you know, the way that they say it. Montepulciano.
You did use the hand. All right.
Yeah.
You're on the right track.
Yeah. No, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot over there.
God. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to get into a little summer house here because we're going to hit the ground running, make sure we get back on the content. But we did miss a lot during the week.
Dude, we missed so much. I went away for we haven't taken a week off since we started.
Yep.
So almost two straight years of not missing any time. I decide to finally take a vacation. I also personally have not had a vacation since 2018.
Correct.
So finally I get to take a breather. And
what was the vacation in 2018?
I don't remember. I was drunk. It could have been rehab.
Middle of Pennsylvania.
Technically, it was at Karen, Wernersville, Pennsylvania.
Shout out, Karen.
You could argue the second best vacation of my life because it saved my life. Ah, this took a weird turn. Welcome back.
Oh God. Yeah. Anyway, we missed a lot, and it was really funny though, because I had my week off, but I was keeping busy trying to get an apartment, move down, figured all that out while we were gone. So very productive week away. People on Twitter were commenting, this of course is the week that we take a week off.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I like, let's go through it. We got Crystal's not coming back.
Yep. Robin is fired.
Robin got fired.
Came out and said that she was fired, which I respect.
Yeah, I'm glad she at least owned up. Candace, we knew, was out, but then Candace is pregnant, so congrats to Chris and Candace. That's amazing. Which leads me to a quick thing, little side note here. Yep. We got our live show coming up soon, May 3rd in DC, so if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, head to the link in our bio, get your tickets, come hang out with us, Candace, Chris, and we got Ryan Bailey coming out, so it's going to be a blast. We're getting very excited. It's been a while since we've been on stage. I'm getting geared up. You know the feeling.
Are you getting geared up? Or I'm not getting geared up yet.
I miss it. I love being on stage. It's so much fun. So come on out, hang out with your bros. We're going to have a blast. But back to all the shit that happened this week. What else do we got?
Jen and Ryan from OC engaged.
Yep, that happened as well.
Sucks.
Oh man, I feel like we're missing shit.
Alexi and Todd dissolved their marriage.
That one came out of nowhere, but that leads to so many questions. Was Marisol telling the truth?
It wasn't even Marisol. I went right to Adriana. It's like, was Adriana telling the truth when she saw him in the lobby And he said, yeah, I just don't want to be up
there. Adriana. Adriana, not Marisol. Yeah, my bad.
Well, everybody had something to say at one point. But no, yeah, my mind immediately went to, and look, I'm not apologizing for Adriana because I still don't think that she deserves to be on the show. But maybe she was right in that moment.
If she was right about a lot of those moments, it changes my scope of the season.
Yeah, it definitely changes my scope of the season, but I'm so excited for next season.
Yeah, next season's going to be
incredible. I already have an idea that I want to float out there where we already know that Larsa and Marcus broke it off.
Yeah.
I think that Larsa's going to try to make her breakup bigger than Alexia's divorce.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and then we're going to get the teams obviously forming where Gertie will obviously take Alexia's side because she's anti-Larsa at this point. Lisa's still going to not shut up about Lenny, but she'll be on Larsa's side. So I think we're going to get some factions made up there, which
like
is fun.
Factions.
I like it because last year it seemed like they all kind of came together in some way, and then obviously they fell apart a little bit with Larsa and Gertie, but next season looks awesome, and I'm so excited for that. And we don't even know anything. I don't even know if they started filming yet.
Mm-mm. Let's drive a wedge into that bad
boy. Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting looking back at the Beverly Hills part. If you look at the cast now that they've weeded out a bunch of people over the past couple of years, you got Garcelle, Sutton, Kyle, Erica, and Dorit.
Yeah.
So you got like pretty much
the
original five that we've been had.
Yeah, I think Beverly
Words
Hills
are gonna words are gonna escape me today. So you gotta hang with me a little bit.
That's all good. I think Beverly Hills is on life support right now.
I think
this is rough.
It's tough. They're going to have to outdo Summer House's new cast members, which is next to impossible. They're gonna have to be West and Jesse level of wow, these guys are great.
If they do that, I mean I assume they're gonna plug somebody in, but like just don't do the normal Bravo thing and go back to the well and just pull people back that we're tired of watching already.
There's a reason why
they're not on TV anyway. So I don't know what you have to do. Bring in new people, bring in people that we kind of know about, maybe some celebrities that aren't, you know, acting or whatever anymore, or musicians or whatever you want to do. Throw a couple people in there, see if you can create some chaos. I'm worried. I think that Beverly Hills was really boring last year. The reunion was okay to an extent. Crystal showed up at the reunion. She got fired. So who the fuck knows what's going to happen? I'm worried that it's going to be so boring next year and we're not going to want to watch.
I'm afraid of that too. There's a lot of ways.
Kyle's not going to give a shit.
No, that's what is so weird about this next season now. After you had an entire season of Kyle being checked out, now this next season and the franchise somewhat hinges on Kyle's performance.
Yeah.
Because who else is going to drive this ship? Like, everyone's going to be looking to the ultimate OG of the show to carry the show, and she doesn't seem to give a shit anymore. So she also hinted at, like, potentially not coming back to the show. Mm-hmm. So what happens if Kyle's like, I'm out?
I don't know. I don't know what to think, but I think next year is going to be the year of Miami. I think Miami's going to be the best housewife show out there.
Hopefully,
people fucking watch.
I know. Hopefully it finally gets the coverage it deserves because it is the best housewife show running right now.
Uh-huh.
Hands down. Like, it is great. Last season was great. The reunions were great. If you're not watching Miami, catch up in the off season so that you can be caught up when the new season starts, because it's going to be a great season. Catch up so you can be caught up. That's the kind of stuff you're going to get from me today, okay? I have not slept. I didn't sleep on the flight back. So I'm, you know what I did for 8 hours?
What?
You'll be proud of this.
You played Pokemon on Switch?
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild
for 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
Didn't stop.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Because it's like an extension of Ocarina of Time almost a little bit. I'm not going to get into this too much, but that's my favorite game of all time. So I was like, oh, there's hints back then. I love this. So yeah. Anywho, we're here to talk about Summer House. I'm sure we missed some things that we missed over the past week and a half. We'll get more in depth tomorrow. I promise. We're doing two episodes tomorrow night. So you have all of your content for the week. Don't worry. We're back full throttle. Charlie's Angels.
Full throttle. Yep.
Full throttle.
Thin Man.
What?
Was he in that one? The Thin Man?
Was that Full Throttle? That the Thin Man is, what's his name?
That's what I was...
Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Okay, Crispin, we figured it out. It's Crispin Glover.
Yeah, we got it. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, yeah, this is what we get
started. I hope we leave all of that in there.
If we didn't figure that out, we'd be distracted the whole episode. So, glad we got that figured out. Now, let's dive in to Summer House. And we pick up where we left off last week, and they're back at dinner. And Kyle and Amanda are still not communicating well. And that's kind of the sum of the entire season between those two. And this episode really paints the picture of just how different wavelengths they're on right now.
I would argue that Kyle's not communicating.
Kyle is not communicating, and then he leans on the fact that he's trying to communicate. But I just think, from what I've seen, we'll get more into it as we go, they're just both completely on different pages. Like, they're not even close to understanding what the other one wants. And I think they both know what the other person wants, but they're, and by there, I mean, this is more Kyle's problem. His inability to meet halfway in any way, shape, or form on what Amanda wants seems to be the driving force here. And then she's getting more aggravated because the little things that he could be fixing, because he says, I'm fixing this, I'm fixing that. It's like, yeah, but you know that I'm going to get upset. And you still go out till 4 a.m.
Yeah, and I think that's a smaller piece of it, whereas obviously Amanda kind of talks about how Kyle and her have had discussions about raising kids in the suburbs and whatever and whatever, whatever, and now all of a sudden he's changing it. Kyle's big issue is, I can't go off to the suburbs and feel alone with just Amanda there when I feel like she doesn't like me. What he's not figuring out here is, if you give Amanda what you guys have talked about, what she's kind of ramped up in her head for what the future is going to bring between the two of you, she will be happy and she will be your wife and you won't be alone.
Right.
I don't know why he's not seeing that, because he's so stuck on, I'm a social guy, I got to go, I got to stay out till 4 a.m. But you're 41 years old. You don't do that.
Well, it's not even that he's saying, like, I got to stay out till 4 a.m. His whole claim of, like, if I move to Jersey or we move to the suburbs, I'm going to be so disconnected. You don't have to move to bumfuck.
No.
Like, move to Hoboken. Move
to fucking Westchester. Like, get on a train and go into the city. Like, it's not, a lot of people do that.
Most people do that. Yeah. When they hit a certain age, they move out of the city. Not everybody, but, like, that's what your spouse wants. So for me, it seems fairly clear, like, how to at least take a step in that direction and then reevaluate. It doesn't mean that it's forever, but there seems to be steps that could be taken that are not being taken. And I think that that's where you see more so that they're just not on the same page. They cannot communicate to each other how they're feeling about it, what they actually want to say. And we'll talk about it more with, I would argue, one of the better relationship coaches, or any coaches that we've seen.
Honestly, one of the better therapist adjacent people we've seen.
Yeah, that she did a good job, unbiased, and gave sound advice. So we'll get to that later. But all in all, as we get with, like, a quick scene with Kyle and Lindsay when they're talking, that the big root of his insecurity lies in, I don't want to feel alone. I'm afraid to be alone. And that makes a lot of sense. If you look at his, like, how he parties and everything, he doesn't like being by himself. He needs to be active and he needs to be entertained, more or less. Like, he needs to have something to do. That's not the right word.
That's why I don't understand, like, what we just talked about. You still can go into the city and do what you have to do. I mean, is he going to be taking the last train home some nights? Probably.
Yeah.
But Amanda's going to be in the suburbs, and you gave her what you already said that you were going to do. And, you know, obviously when you have kids, that's going to stop. But you could still continue to do some things, and you don't have to be alone. He's just not really – that's why I say that I feel like he's got the communication problem, because we know what Amanda wants.
That's true.
We have no fucking idea what Kyle wants, and I don't know if he knows what he wants, and maybe that's the problem.
That's a really good point, but we get a quick scene with Amanda, Paige, and Sierra, and she points out a really good point, and she says, he slings all this mud at me because I'm pissed at him, and then he just starts saying shit because he doesn't like being under the gun about it. And I think that that's a really good point. It's like, he does something wrong, i.e. stay out till 4 a.m. after they've already talked about it, all that stuff. And instead of being like, I'm sorry, or taking responsibility for it, he seems to clap back. And I don't know if that's how it's always been. And, like, we do see on the one-on-one scenes, we do tend to get a gentle Kyle, like, when he's trying to have these conversations. When it ramps up, he's very quick to, like, well, your point of view is bullshit and this and that. Like, he does have a turning point. And for me, that's where I start to question, like, all right, what do the conversations not on camera look like? Like,
yeah,
are they disagreeable, or are you a little bit more amped up? Because we see hints of the amped upness, if you will. And the way that Amanda's saying it in this scene, she's like, yeah, you see this, like, nice guy on camera, but he's saying two completely different things. We've had all these conversations, and then he feels like he's under the gun, and now he throws it out there like, oh, well, I don't even know if I want this. It's like, we've never talked about that.
Yeah, and I do like in this scene when Paige breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And she says, do you ever just look at him and say, why the fuck did you say that on national TV?
Yeah.
Like, and that is kind of the point, but I feel like at this point, they've been on this show for so long that he's pretty used to the cameras being around, and I think he's very unapologetically himself when it comes to the cameras, too. I think what we're seeing right now is which is so funny because later he says he feels like he's having a good summer. We're seeing all of the frustrations between the two of them from the beginning of the summer and whatever was going on before the summer started. It's coming to a head now.
Yeah.
And while I don't think, you know, they're having these crazy aggressive conversations all the time, you can see a glimpse of it a little bit later on the beach when they're talking, where Kyle starts off slow and then he gets mad at Amanda for ramping it up. But I mean, she's emotional because you're being a dick.
Yeah.
And you can't then blame her because it just flips all back around and it's gaslighting. So I don't know. I like the Paige broke the fourth wall there because we're thinking the same thing. Yeah. And Amanda's like, yeah, I do think that, but this is how Kyle is.
Yeah. Good point. But we get volleyball day on the beach. We got Carl versus Jesse, both of whom, no surprise, least surprise news ever. Both were volleyball champs back in high school.
A couple of tall boys, yeah.
Yep, a couple of tall boys. And they're both talking shit about who's going to win this game, whatever. I think that what the game comes down to is just simply their team.
Yeah.
I think Carl had a better team. Kyle seemed to be the outlier there. Kyle seemed to...
To be fair, I don't know if you've ever tried to play sports in a swimsuit like that, a one-piece.
I have not.
But that's got to be uncomfortable.
I would imagine there'd be some constricting going on.
Yeah, would you go full constriction, or do you think you'd go like side saddle?
Side? God.
I thought about it, so I got to ask you.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You got to factor in like... You know, the sand and the beach and the water and chafing. And
there's a lot in like a wedgie. Like you get a bad wedgie.
Oh, the wedgie's going to happen regardless.
That's a good point. I don't know. Maybe we should have a volleyball game this summer and I'll trial by fire.
Yeah, that'll go well on Wildwood's beach.
Yeah, Wildwood. Woo! But this is where we get the conversation between Kyle and Amanda. And this is where she points out to Kyle, you're on my shit list. And when you're on my shit list, you tend to clap back at me because I'm not just saying it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us having a conversation in which you take some accountability, it ends up turning into, oh, by the way, you're also falling short on all of these things, Amanda. I know you're mad at me, but you're not doing anything here, here, and here. And again, this is going to go to the conversation they have with the relationship coach later. But you start to see that there's a lot more here to what they're actually fighting about. Like what they're talking about in the moment, whether it's staying out late, he feels alone, they're not communicating well, it's deep-rooted in things that have been going on for an extended period of time that they have not addressed. And now it's at the point where they're ready to make some kind of moves in their life, some transitions, whether it's kids, the suburbs, whatever it is, and they haven't addressed the root of the problem.
Right.
So they're just running in circles with each other, but Kyle keeps hammering home, I just want to work on communication. I came into this, like I wanted to have like a heart to heart. And she's like, I'm not in the mood to have a heart to heart with you. And you can't just have a heart to heart because you feel like having a heart to heart, but we're not on the same page. You haven't addressed what I'm pissed about yet. So we're not in the heart to heart moment yet.
No, not at all. And Kyle's saying that he just wants to, and this is, I think he says it four times in this episode. He just wants to be on the same page with Amanda. We have to get on the same page. I'm watching Amanda just say what she wants to do and Kyle not.
Right.
I'll get caught up and say, I don't really know what I want to do. That's okay if you say, I mean, you can kind of leave out the fact that he's older and he should know what he's going to do. But it's okay if you admit, look, I don't know what I want to do and we can work on it and do it in a nice way instead of getting mad at Amanda because she's frustrated with you because she knows what she wants to do and you're not trying to meet her anywhere. You're not having the discussion of, okay, so this is definitely what you want to do and we've had this discussion before. Let's sit down and hammer out the details. You're not doing that because you're afraid of doing it. That's what it comes down to. You're afraid of leaving the city. You're afraid of becoming a suburban dad, whatever the fuck's going on over there. Then just say that in a nice, calm way, which we sort of get a little bit later with the therapist. But he's not doing it in this moment. And that's one of the things that frustrates me the most. I hate when people, especially couples, fight in a public place. Just, you know, I know it's a TV show, but don't be a dick to your wife on the beach.
That's not a great look.
Yeah, especially when she's already frustrated with your actions. You don't then get to turn it around and be frustrated with her being frustrated.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
She's frustrated about a recurring issue of you staying out till 4 a.m. and has addressed that to you. And then you say, your stance is bullshit because I stay out once a month till 4 a.m.
Then we find out it's like once a week.
It's
a weeknight.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm hard pressed to believe that it's only once a month staying out till 4 a.m.
It's definitely not a Saturday. Maybe it's once a month on a weeknight.
Right.
And then the weekends, he's still out to 4 a.m. Yeah.
And, you know, he says, I'm a very social person and it's lonely being married to you because you don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Lou.
Hi, Lou.
And this is where I'm trying my best to see different angles to this thing, because there are two sides to every story, and the third one's the truth, that old saying.
Mm-hmm.
In this, like, okay, let's think about it from not Kyle fucking up standpoint, just real quick, just for a split second, and just say, okay, you're feeling like you're social, your wife is not, she's not meeting you halfway as far as, you know, you're feeling like she's not talking to you or she doesn't like you. Once again, this to me just sounds like insecurities, where you think that she doesn't like you because things at home, you're not communicating well, you're not talking. If you get to the bottom of what's going on, I would imagine that would change. And if it doesn't change after you guys have addressed certain things out in the open, then it's a different conversation that you need to have. But again, I find it difficult to side with Kyle in any way, shape, or form when we do know what Amanda wants. Very black and white.
Not only that, it's hard to side with Kyle when he's acting the way that he's acting.
Yeah, that too, obviously.
Like, you could be right in the moment, but if you're going to act the way that you are and shove it down Amanda's throat about it, we're not going to side with you because you're being an asshole about it.
Yeah.
So if you can do it in a calm, productive, somewhat way and sit down without a mediator, which again, we have a little bit later, but if you could sit down with your wife who you've known for a long time, who you've been married to for 2 years, and figure it out and try to work through it, that looks a lot different.
Yeah, I agree. And he's leaning on this crutch of wanting to communicate better, but he's failing and refusing to make an adjustment to communicate better.
Correct.
He's just thinking that if I keep saying that I'm trying really hard and be like, use my nice voice, like something's going to break through. It's like, no, you're now having the same conversation over and over again about what you want without telling you're not telling anybody how you're going to get there.
Yeah. And he's trying to do every trick in the book to get people to be on his side.
Yeah.
Starts off with the, well, I don't know. That's okay, right? If I say that I don't know. No, it's not really, because we've done this 50 fucking times. You should know by now, and you should talk to your wife about it. And then when that doesn't work, he turns to a little bit of anger on the beach because he's frustrated. And then when that doesn't work, he gets sad.
Yep.
And he tries to play the victim, and he says, woe is me. I feel so lonely. You feel lonely because of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And that's the other part is like, well, I don't know what I want. Well, according to your wife, you guys have had the conversations about what you both want. So that's why she's probably a little confused and also extra frustrated in these moments, because according to you and her, you are on the same page overall. Maybe the timeline's a little bit different, but the overall sentiment, you've had the discussion and now in front of everybody else.
I mean, it brings in potential empty promises.
Which it could be. It could be him just saying what he thinks that she wants to hear in the moment.
I mean, he's not going to admit that.
No, which would be a really bad idea in a marriage. But regardless, like, there's no movement forward because you're not changing anything. You're just saying things that eventually that runs short.
You know what the funny thing is? I feel like we're getting a lot of this because, and obviously the end of the season is going to be tumultuous with Carl and Lindsay. We're getting a lot of this now because Carl and Lindsay aren't fighting in the house.
No.
So in the beginning of the season, we had the two of them arguing and causing chaos in the house, but nobody was really buying into it. Nobody's really siding with either side. They're just kind of letting it play out. And you had Kyle and Amanda sit there and say, well, you know, our problems aren't as big as theirs.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, Carl and Lindsay are seemingly okay and they're not fighting in public. Maybe they're fighting when they go back to New York. Who knows? And you guys have to deal with your shit. Because now all of a sudden you don't have that buffer of, oh, we're not as bad as them. They look okay right now.
Yeah.
Let's work on us. This is not going to go well.
Yeah. Well, we got a quick check in with Sierra and West on FaceTime. They're just so cute. West is in Montana. Sierra's surprised that she misses West. It's the makings of a potential real relationship. We know that according to West in our interview, they're working on things, which is very vague. We don't know what that means.
So I think we kind of found out why in this episode.
Yeah, the labels.
It's not necessarily just the labels, but we can talk about this a little more in depth later. When Sierra is sitting down with her model agent and he says the first 2 years are going to be really tough because you're going to be traveling a lot. You're going to have to put strain on your relationships and your friendships and your family and stuff because you really want to make it in the industry. I think that's what's going on right now. And knowing West, he's a great dude. Like, I'm not going to hold you back in New York because you want to go chase your dream. Go ahead, do it. But, you know, I'll be here and I'm going to try to do the long distance thing. If she's traveling all the time, that's got to be tough. I think that's what he's doing.
You think
so? Just knowing West, because he's such a great dude, he's not going to tell us and be like, well, you know, she's traveling a lot, so I'm not really sure if there's a future with us or anything like that. He probably wants there to be a future because he likes her a lot. Seeing how it plays out while Sierra's you know, traveling around, chasing her dreams, doing what she's going to be doing. And he's sitting in New York like, you know, when she comes back, if she's back around, we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. I think that they both have a similar disposition when it comes to dating. So I think that's going to actually play out well for them because they are on the same page as far as we don't need to move too fast. Let's just see where this goes. Their past dating history has a lot to do with that, which we find out more about West Pass later. But we get a night out with the whole crew, except for I think four or five of them stay back. Do you cross your legs like right over left, like knee to knee?
No, I do the figure
foot,
four.
The ankle.
Yeah,
I do full cross.
You go full cross?
I go full cross, yeah.
It's uncomfortable for me. I feel like that's uncomfortable for you with those hips.
No, that's weirdly the figure four is more uncomfortable for my hips. Isn't that weird? Yeah. So I go full cross, and
or I'll cross ankles. I like crossing ankles.
Cross ankles, yeah, but there was a little bit of an insecurity to get over for like a while for me crossing the legs over, and I don't know why. It's so dumb. But yeah, I had to, you know, get comfortable with it, which is so dumb because I don't really give a fuck what people think ever. And that was one thing. And it's more comfortable for me. So then I was like, why do I give a shit? And then I found out, like, you know, they're talking about being an ick. I'm like, well, whatever.
There you go. You're married. You don't have to worry about icks.
I don't give a shit. And it's comfortable.
Unless your wife thinks it's an ick, then you have to worry about it.
Oh, man, I got
to
ask Dev. I wonder. I don't think so. I think she'd
tell me. She'd tell you.
Yeah, she would tell me if she didn't like it. But I appreciated the Hidden Valley chug. Just rant straight out of the thing. I think that a lot of us would be lying if we haven't done something similar in our lives, whether it's straight out of the bottle or like a big gross scoop from the cup when you get like the dippy cup.
Yeah, not straight from the bottle. I haven't done that.
You haven't done a quick swig? Wow.
No, but like if there's a lot of ranch left and I've got like a chip, like a Frito. Frito's really good with ranch.
I agree.
Or like a baby carrot. You dip that in there, but then it's just covered in ranch.
Well, you just had to throw that. You're kind of healthy. Or a baby carrot.
I'm just trying to think of things that go well with ranch. What else do you dip just straight into ranch?
Anything.
Chicken finger.
Pizza. Anything. Anything.
No, see, too much ranch on pizza.
Too much, yeah. But if you put just a dab on
it. Maybe like you get down to the crust and then you just, it's a vehicle for the ranch.
You go ranch with a little bit of hot sauce on pizza.
Ooh, yeah.
Now we're talking. Now I'm getting hungry. Yep. Cheesesteaks, call my name.
But Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album. Pop Apologists. Pop Apologists.
But back to the night out, we get a quick update from Danielle on how her and Lindsay are doing, and they are finding their way back to each other in some way, shape, or form. It's not the same as it used to be, but despite last summer, like, they were extremely close, so it's nice to see that they're able to rekindle some kind of friendship here. I'm sure it feels great for both of them to be able to move past. Last year was a shit show. That was a disaster. So I would imagine that some of this also has to be, especially now, has to be vindicating for Danielle to watch this season play out. And she has to be sitting. She also played it so well because she's not contributing to it at all.
She's
sitting back
and
letting it happen.
Yeah, she's sitting it back, and it's getting to the point now where I kind of forget that Danielle's even on the show. So when she pops up, I'm like, oh, yeah, Danielle, there she is, which is better than she was last year. Mm. But you know what? She did the trial by fire. She tried to get involved in their relationship last year, felt left out, started calling people names, doing this and that and whatever, and it backfired. And she got bit in the ass for it. So rightfully so, she's sitting this one out. I don't know where she is now. I know that a lot of people have asked her about what's going on with Carl and Lindsay and her role and everything, and she's very coy about everything, which is smart.
It's very smart.
Because if you do support, because she's, I don't know if she's double dipping and talking to Carl and Lindsay at the same time or whatever she might be doing right now, she's not letting the press get a hold of it, which is probably for the best. You know, just try to stay out of it.
I think you let the season play out. I think that if we've learned anything from Carl this season, is this season will speak for itself. That's what Craig told us last year. He said the season will speak for itself. You're not going to have a whole lot of room for interpretation, I don't think, when all is said and done. So I think anybody involved or even close to it is doing themselves a favor by just not discussing it and letting it happen.
Yeah.
And it's also great for us watching it just because if we've learned anything from Salt Lake City's reunion, or sorry, just the season in general, not spilling the beans before it happens makes for better TV. And yeah, obviously we already know what's going to happen, But to like not have the ins and outs of how it got there and the conversations that were had and who said what to who and when, like, it makes for better TV.
Correct.
Period. So it's weird to be excited for the end of the season knowing what it's about. And that's where this like moral conundrum of reality TV comes in. But look, we're all here for the drama. That's why we watch this shit. And this season's delivering so far. But Kyle brings up Amanda to Paige, and Paige says, look, just stop being a dick. And this is when Kyle starts to cry because he said, you know, I looked through her phone and there was no pictures of me, which is, you know, objectively sad. I thought that was kind of a bummer. When Amanda was on Watch What Happens
Live, I don't know if it's
true, though. I don't know if it's true. Well, Amanda answered for that on either the after show or something.
Yeah.
Said, all of my photos are just dogs.
Like, probably the dogs, yeah.
When we take pictures, we always take them on Kyle's phone. I don't think that there's a deeper thing there. I think that, again, this goes back to the insecurities. I think Kyle is so worried that his wife doesn't like him because they're not communicating. And right now, she probably doesn't like you. And that that's something you need to figure the fuck out. And that's how you move forward in this, is why don't you like me? Instead of getting stuck on little stuff like, oh, you don't have a picture of me on your phone. Which, again, objectively a little weird that there's not one photo of Kyle on the phone.
And again, I don't know how far up he went. And I assume that there are a lot of pictures of the two dogs. But him sitting there saying that, I don't know. I feel like he's still trying to like play the victim and get people on his side.
I do too, especially when he starts crying.
Everybody knows what's going on. Whenever something with Kyle and Amanda is happening in the house, everybody is involved for the most part. So they know what's going on. Obviously, he's talking to Paige about it. And Paige is doing a good job of being Amanda's friend, but also she's close enough with Kyle that she can tell him when Amanda lashes out and she does something stupid that you didn't deserve, I tell her, that's fucked up. Don't do that. So I think he appreciates hearing that. I just keep coming back to the whole, you think your wife doesn't like you, then maybe figure out your behavior. You know, that could be part of it. Maybe figure out the things that you promised her. Go from there. See if she likes you more.
It seems like a good starting point.
Maybe she doesn't like you, but she loves you. So figure it out.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly where they're at.
Yeah.
That's exactly where they're at. But we get a conversation between Lindsay, Sierra, and Andrea, and they're talking about sex. Rate your sex life. And Lindsay gives it a 2.5. We've had this conversation already.
Oddly specific number.
2.5?
Yeah, why?
Because
they have sex once every 4 weeks.
Well, and nobody's finishing, I guess, is the big problem. So
it could be a zero.
I mean, the whole thing with the sex talk and whatever, I think it's weird that she's airing out all of that dirty laundry about their, like, they're about to get married.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
the more she does it, the less. So when that first happened and it looked like whoever she was talking to, I think it was just Paige and Amanda, and she acted like that wasn't that big of a deal. She's like, oh, no, yeah, we don't really have sex that often. I don't know. It's not a big deal.
Shifted.
Yeah, it's definitely shifted. And it brings me back to my original thought during that was, Lindsay's completely delusional and doesn't know what's going on. No wonder she was blindsided by all of this. After she does it again and again, I'm starting to think she's playing it. And she's throwing it out there like, oh, yeah, it's not a big deal. We just don't have sex. Because she knows that ultimately it's not going to end up well. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, well, they weren't having sex. Lindsay told us a couple of times, and, you know, she was in her own little world talking about how it wasn't that big of a deal. Maybe it just ate away at her, and, you know, she can't be held responsible for this. Lindsay's a lot smarter than a lot of people give credit for.
I agree with that. I've never said she's not. And I think that the biggest thing that I see between these two, and obviously I've had my comments about Lindsay this season because I think the way she's handled a lot of things has been fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But the root of everything, these two shouldn't be together.
Yeah.
They don't like each other. I don't know if they ever liked each other.
We're best friends and now we're getting married. It's like, I think you guys both really like the idea and you feel like you're comfortable with each other, but you're not really that close and you never really got along when you think about it.
Even when
you dated the first time around and even when you were hooking up, it never really made a whole lot of sense.
It didn't. And I think that you're seeing that happen. You're seeing two people that don't have the same life goals. They don't have the same agreements on anything and they're trying to force this. And that's what's leading to just chaos. Like, regardless of my stance on Lindsay, like, she would be significantly happier if they didn't try to force this shit for God knows how long. Like, I wonder when it really actually turned. It had to be a long time.
It must have been a long time, but I guess we'll find out at some point. I think it has already turned completely. And
at this point, yeah,
the more like wedding things they do with Lindsay getting her dress and then she has the shower later in the season and Carl's out picking out tuxes and the whole thing happens with Kyle. I think there's a lot of resentment building up. And then on top of that, you're realizing, holy shit, this wedding is happening fast. And we have nothing to show for it.
Nope.
There is not a good foundation for a relationship here. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to say it wasn't the right call to call it off after watching this season.
No, absolutely not. But on a lighter note, we get a quick scene with Jesse and Camille, his friend for the evening. He brings her back to the house. They do hot tub stuff. And then I don't, you know, when they put the towel over the camera, that's good for me. That's good enough.
Yeah, I don't need,
I don't need the dirty talk.
Yeah.
Don't need the, you're so
we
good.
We know what's going on.
I know. Yeah, we get it. It's just funny because you get this juxtaposed scene of those two hooking up, and then Kyle is like balls deep in an Oreo container and then passes out on the counter.
Yeah. What were those Oreos that he said?
He said vanilla dingleberry or something.
Like, I think that's what they're called.
I don't want a dingleberry cookie.
That oh, so good. But that's the thing is that Kyle, like, I know where Amanda's coming from, where, yeah, Kyle stayed out even after. Like, Jesse's completely fine on his own.
He's single.
And, like, I get it. And you know what? Maybe there's a little bit of, I don't want to go home to Amanda right now because she's going to be mad at me regardless, so I'm just going to stay out. I think if he had come home, he came home at what? Like, they 3:22, I think the time was
he
when they got back.
He went to bed at 3:55 a.m.
So he was up, well, he was in the kitchen for 33 minutes eating Oreos and then falling asleep.
Yes.
If you had just gone to bed at 3:22, maybe this wouldn't be as big of an issue.
No, here's what you do. Okay, you've just had this knockdown, drag-out fight.
You probably don't go out is probably
don't
the answer.
Go out.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that Amanda didn't go out to see what Kyle would do.
Well, she even said, if you told me that Kyle wasn't going out, I would say he was sick.
Yeah, but I think that when she's like, I'm staying in, I'm not going out, I think that there was definitely a part of it. It's like, one, I want to see what he does, and two, dude, stay home.
It's like the ultimate, like, an obvious test.
It was so
come home
clear.
With Carl and Paige and Danielle. Don't stay out with Jesse until 4 a.m. That's really all you had to do.
He walks upstairs and she goes, what time is it? And he goes, 3:55. You literally just had a conversation about not staying out till 4, dude. Like, that's literally what you talked about. And you want to say that you're making these changes. You're doing things better. You're doing things differently. I would say that I've seen growth in Kyle overall as a human being, sure, compared to, you know, 6 years ago.
Well, yeah, and there's glimpses every year. I mean, the whole cocaine Carl thing last year, and
that's what I mean. But
this year,
he's not completely changed, and this is the point. This is what she's trying to tell you. It's like, dude, you literally just got out of the dog. Not even. You're still in the doghouse for this from last week, and you just did it again the day that we talked about it. Even if you're doing one of those moves where you're out and you're like, fuck it, I'm not going home. I don't want to go home. No, because you're married. Like, you need to go home and figure it out. And once again, just don't go out, dude. Don't go out. Stay home. Show her that that's showing an effort. Talking about it the next day and saying, I'm trying, is not.
You're not trying.
It's not trying. You literally did it the same night.
I like that we didn't even see him say and like try to spin it a little bit, because I do love that even as drunk as he was and as tired as he was when he walked into the room, he still made a point to say 3:55 and not 4 o'clock.
4 a.m. I know.
Like, you round up at that point. He didn't do that, so he knew what he was doing. He didn't try to spin it even more and be like, well, I got home at 3, and then I ate Oreos and fell asleep at the kitchen and then went up to you. So I've been home for an hour, so it wasn't 4. Like, he didn't try to do any of that. But him saying, I'm trying, is so funny after clearly not trying.
No.
Falling into the most obvious trap ever. And you just took it running.
Yeah, it's tough to watch because it's frustrating and it seems so obvious. And then you watch it play out and you're like, dude, at the very least, like you said, go home with Carl.
Yeah.
Go home with Carl and say, hey, I stayed out till 11 or midnight or whatever that was. Mm-hmm.
Especially because they were all still, that's the best part. They were all still awake.
I know.
They're all still awake and they're playing Truth or Dare at the kitchen table. You could have walked in fresh as roses, midnight, looking good, and hung out with your wife and maybe got a little bit of grace back.
Yeah, and also, if you go home, if you're in the house and you want to have a little after party, I doubt she's going to be pissed about that.
No, because you're home.
Yeah, you're home. Like that. Here's what I think, and she said it earlier, and she's like, you don't like when I have a stance on something. I think that he wants it his way, and he's trying to navigate how to spin it and how to word it and how to go about this so that Amanda falls in line and is on the same page as him. But Amanda's gotten to a point where she's not going to do that because, you know, she put she went all in for Loverboy. She supported Kyle and all of his dreams, all this, all that. It's a two-way street, and I think that Kyle sees it as I do all of these things, which may be true. And that's another, you know, there's a lot of different ins and outs to a relationship, and that could be an issue that Amanda needs to fix. Like, maybe she could contribute more in the house, things like that. But again, if the root is this, and she's telling you this, and you're still doing this, it's going to be very hard to get to that. You feel me?
I feel you.
You picking up what I'm putting down?
Sure am.
All right, because my brain's not fully functioning right now, so I'm making sure it's coherent. But we're moving on. They wake up the next day. I don't even know if they went home in the same car. They're not talking at all. It was awkward as shit, but we get a great scene in the city with West and his aunt. Was it his great aunt or was it his aunt?
It was his aunt, I believe.
His aunt is the shit.
Yeah.
And you see a very touching scene. They're talking about his job hunt. And if you listen to our episode or if you follow him, you know that he now works at Complex Sports. So the job that he's talking about in this scene, he actually ended up getting. But we get to find out a little bit more about West's dating past, and it comes up because I thought this is a big moment. He's telling his aunt about Sierra. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. I don't know if production's like, ooh, that'd be a good scene. But regardless, the scene was heartfelt and did seem genuine because the aunt's talking about why he's so afraid of commitment and the fact that he hasn't had a real girlfriend since he was 20, and she takes it all the way back to high school. Like, did your high school sweetheart break your heart? And that's why you're not able to commit to certain things. And she breaks him down. And he agrees with all of it. And you get this juxtaposed with Sierra and her modeling. And I don't know what's about to happen in her career, but goddamn, this guy, he got me psyched. I was like,
I'm pumped.
She's about to be in everything.
Yeah. I'm so excited after watching that scene.
And rightfully so. Like, it's awesome to see she's questioned herself for so long. She finally gave it a shot. It took 2 weeks to get booked by a modeling agent in NYC. I think she was on a billboard in Times Square already. I don't know if it was in New York. It was a massive, like, one of those video billboards. She's already done that. I imagine it's only going to go up from there. So it's cool to see her chase her dreams, but this is what we talked about earlier. I guess that's her manager or agent.
It was her agent, and I loved having the side-by-side where West is talking about the potential of a relationship with her and what he wants to do moving forward. And obviously he's not super aggressive about it, saying, yeah, I want her to be my girlfriend. I want to do this and that, travel with her, whatever. He's being realistic about everything, and the other side is Sierra finding out, you're going to be traveling a lot, you're going to put a lot of strain on your relationships. I thought that the editing for this part was awesome, going back and forth, and it's even better because for once, when they do something like this, one of them wasn't completely delusional.
No, they're both realistic.
They're both realistic. West is taking a good approach to everything. Sierra is obviously very excited about her job, but it's just a little daunting. She doesn't know what's going to happen, and we get to see basically the two of them. And I assume next week, or this week rather, we're going to find out how that conversation goes between the two of them.
Yes.
That's something that we need to see because we've seen a lot of this and we're rooting for them. And I think it's going to be such a nice scene.
I do too. But I could also see it going, hey, the timing's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. All love. But maybe let's reconvene in the future after we both, because he's starting a new job. She's about to do her modeling thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a very amicable conversation, which it's like, hey, let's readdress this when we both settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's like a healthy pre-relationship. We're used to like toxic whirlwind, like, oh my God, I'm in love. I'm in love too. Let's dive headfirst into this. And then a week later, it's like, oh, this didn't work out.
Did you say they're dating?
Are we going to do this?
We have a good example here. There's no labels.
No,
you don't think they're dating.
To me, that's not. No, to me, this is dating. To me, dating implies that these two are, like, I would imagine if West hooked up with somebody else, Sierra would be very upset, and vice versa.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think that.
Where I've always been.
No, because you say that dating is if you go on dates. I think dating implies a relationship.
I don't think this is a relationship. It's a pre-relationship. You just said it.
I think that this is. You're taking advantage of my slow brain today.
You just said dating is a relationship, but you just called it a pre-relationship, if you will.
I think it's a step further than that. I think it's, look.
Don't play semantics with me.
I think that it's bullshit that people play semantics. We don't want to put a label on it. It's you are what you are, period. Whether you put a label on it or not, it's ridiculous. If it makes you sleep better at night, cool. But at the end of the day, you're either exclusive or not, which is boyfriend or girlfriend or not. So
it's not the same
this
thing.
Whole stupid label shit, Get over it. Everybody out
You're
there
a husband.
That's so stuck on labels. Like what? If you, oh, we can't say a word or else it's going to doom the relationship.
That's not what's
that's
going
so
on here.
Dumb. That's dumb.
I just asked you a simple question.
And
you're
look
getting
where
all,
it got you.
Getting all hot.
I haven't slept in 20 hours and I've flown from Italy today.
Maybe.
Okay, Pumpkin.
The Breath of the Wild's going to be there tomorrow, pal. You
oh, man. I'm like addicted to that
I
game.
Know.
I haven't been hooked on a game in
I've
so
been
long.
There.
That's so good. But we're almost done. Let's keep trucking. We get the Amanda, Kyle, and I believe Taryn is the relationship coach. And it's nice to see these two have a conversation in which we're hearing how they're actually feeling and where it's coming from. And that did need a third party. And sometimes you do need it. There's nothing wrong with that. To have the third party there. This is my favorite relationship coach that I've seen on any show.
I agree.
Because usually we get a biased coach or we get somebody that doesn't seem to ask any real questions and their feedback is usually just like nonsense.
Or like, they're asking like shock and awe questions because like, the cameras are there.
Like sex questions and stuff. But let's talk about the relationship.
Yep.
So I appreciate it. And what she starts out with, or what Kyle starts out with, saying, you know, we feel stuck and we want to progress, but there's these challenges and, you know, we're working together. And I feel like that tends to be the first thing they jump to is we have strain because we're working together, but that's almost like, I don't want to say a cop out to me, but more so a place to place blame.
Yeah.
When there's other shit going on.
Like they've been working together for so long. And what's the common denominator here? Your strained friendship with Carl when Carl was working with you. You have a strained friend or a relationship with Amanda when your wife is working with you. What's the common denominator there? It's Kyle.
That's a good point.
He can't handle the fact that he sees them all the time. But he also went back to Carl and said, if you could come back, that would be great. Why are you doing that? Like you need to figure out and reevaluate yourself. Because you're the one who has the issue with working with people.
Well,
that's what's happening.
I think that he has their best interest at heart there. I think he has his own as well. But I think that
he wouldn't be able to do Loverboy without Amanda there.
No, and he knows that though. Like he's not ignorant to that fact because he says that.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's him just trying to get in her good graces or not, I don't think so either. I think he understands that. This comment is where I think that it's not so much about that specifically, because the fights lead to what she's not doing at work. And that to me is just him able to grab onto something that he's not happy with in the workplace and use it in an argument that's not about work.
Right.
I think that he's not addressing it from a work standpoint, but he uses the frame of this is a job thing to voice what his frustrations are with her. And it's nice to hear her articulate what that does in turn, because she says, what that does to me is that I'm not doing enough, therefore I am not good enough, and I have to convince myself that I am because I'm not getting it from him.
Mm-hmm.
He hears it. He seems to process it. Like they have like a little kiss and a hug like immediately after it, because they both get emotional, and I think that this is where you start to see. And this is where I was like, wow, this relationship coach is actually solid, because she's like, this is not so much you have a problem with this specific thing or you have a problem with this specific thing. You're insecure that you're not enough. You're insecure, Kyle, that she doesn't like you, which could be deeper rooted in you need everybody to like you, which if you know Kyle and he's the life of the party, he's that guy. And most people do like him. He's a likable character for sure. But if you think that your own wife doesn't like you because she's not a party to your social scene or she's not as amped up as you are on most nights, then that would lead to you questioning so many different things. Kyle's like, I have been more sensitive to a lot of things. And you see that all the time. If Amanda claps back at all, he gets very sensitive. On the flip side, Amanda's jabs cut a little deep.
Yeah.
Like she intentionally says things to get under his skin, but that just shows you where they're at. But this scene to me gave me much more hope about these two, because it's like, all right, at least now we're getting to the why. And if you can get to the why, you have a chance of getting past it and communicating through it. So at least now we're starting to figure out, all right, these things that he's doing are making you feel this way because of all of these other things, and the same for you. So if they can figure out, and again, it's tough because as I'm sitting here saying this, like if they can figure this out, figure that out, we know what Amanda wants and needs.
Yeah.
Like that at the end of the day,
it's not even like I think that he's so caught up in the here and now of it all, where he thinks that Amanda wants to move right now. I don't think she does. I think she wants to start the process of thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's not a whole lot to ask. Start the process of considering and planning when we're going to do it. Say you're going to give me like a 3-year time frame here. Amanda even says in the dinner in like the first scene of the episode, I don't want to have kids right now. Like, that's not on the table right now, but we do need to start thinking about it. And Kyle's refusing to even think about it. So what is that going to happen, or what's that going to look like in 3-4 years when he's not even, he doesn't even want to think about it. He's not going to do it.
Yeah.
So you have to start that process. And again, we know so much of what Amanda wants because she's very explicit in saying what she wants, and Kyle's not. And whether that's because he doesn't know what he wants, or because he's afraid of giving Amanda the wrong answer, or he already has made up his mind that he doesn't want to move to the suburbs at all and he wants to stay in the city, you have to say something.
I
can't
agree.
Just be stuck on the I don't know train and then get mad when Amanda's frustrated because you say that you don't know when you already talked about this. Like, yeah. That's the thing that it keeps coming down to. And hopefully, obviously, the relationship coach can get them through some of this stuff and at least get them to open up and communicate a little bit more, because it'll go a long way.
Yeah, and this is where he uses again. He says, I'm working on a lot, but I feel like one big night out negates all progress being made. Again, it's not specifically about the fact that you're going out. It's that she has explicitly said to you, you going out till 4 a.m., I don't like it, and you continue to go out till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It's a very specific, I don't want you to do this anymore, and you continue to do it, and then you don't have remorse for it. In turn, you actually get mad at me for being upset about it.
Yeah, and I think if he gave anything in other worlds with, you know, going out to the suburbs or thinking about starting a family, at least having those discussions, I don't think that Amanda would hone in so much on the 4 a.m. thing. If you're truly only doing it once a month and it's not that big of a deal in your eyes, I think if you meet her with other issues that you guys are going through, that won't be a big issue anymore.
I agree.
Because you're not going to be in the city forever. You are going to move to the suburbs. You just had this conversation. So yeah, you're in the city right now. There's no responsibilities. You have two dogs, but you don't have kids at home. You can stay out and do this. I'm still going to be upset at you in the morning. I'm still going to give you shit, but I'm not going to hold on to it forever. I think that's the place that he can get to, and he doesn't realize that he can get there.
Well, I think they just keep going in a circle.
Yeah.
It's cyclical. It's the same shit over and over again. And in tune with that, the cheating thing comes back up, and you know, Kyle says, it still haunts me. And Amanda has a confessional. She said, look, everyone brings this up all the time. She has worked through the cheating thing. She has worked through the infidelity. But because of it, like when Kyle's out, I'm not, what I got from this scene, I don't think Amanda's sitting at home going, oh my God, he's cheating on me right now.
Yeah.
I think that there's just always going to be that icky feeling and that distrust feeling when he's out till 4 a.m. because that happened. And mm-hmm. I think that's completely fair. And I think for him to have any other response to that other than how can I ease that, that's the correct response. And maybe it's come home at 1 a.m., dude. Maybe it's come home at midnight. There's compromises here that can be made as a 41-year-old man that wants to further your family and your business. That is not you saying, I'm going out till 4 a.m. because I am social and you don't like me.
You want to know what's funny?
What?
You know how you just said that Kyle and Amanda are going in circles?
Yeah.
You and I are going in circles.
I know.
Right now.
I know. We keep saying the same shit, huh? It's hard.
It is hard to break down. I understand that. It's just really funny because now they've got us going in fucking circles.
Yeah, damn it. But the best thing that this relationship coach said to them, and I think this would actually benefit them and a lot of couples, honestly.
And us watching.
Yeah, and us. Stay in the moment. Don't bring up historical issues, because that's always going to go back to who can pull what punch from back in the day. And that's not going to further anything. You guys are trying to move forward. So when it's happening in the moment, stay in the moment. If you feel yourself slipping back, see if you guys can put a pause on it.
Yeah.
Let's stick a pin in this and reapproach it later. And I think that this was the most sound advice we've had from a relationship. Whether she was licensed or not, this relationship coach, she did a good job.
Good job.
Good job. The last scene, we get Lindsay dress fitting. Danielle cries. You see those two reconnect. I'm assuming we're going to get more about this next week, so we'll dive in. Nothing really happened. I mean, obviously,
aside from the daunting music playing at the end. Lindsay's got her wedding dress on, and instead of it being a happy little chorus in the background. Yeah.
Like the Darth Vader.
That really got me. That made me laugh.
Made you laugh?
Did I say laugh? Flaff?
Flaff.
Flaff. Made me flaff.
Well, you're the question master, so why don't we fire those up so I can
we're
have
back.
A cheesesteak and take a snooze.
We are back for questions. All right, first up here from Vanessa Tori 11. What do you think of Andrea making coffee in bed for Paige now that she's in a relationship?
No, don't do
that. I think it's a good callback from that first season. I don't think he's doing it in like a romantic way. I think he's just...
He's consistent.
He's friends.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything other than that.
No, Andre is a good dude. Janet B24 wants to know what we think about the Phillies City Connect uniforms. Trash.
Garbage.
Awful.
Hate them.
Stupid.
Dumb.
Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Lady Katie _ Hair says, serious question, ranch or blue cheese?
Ranch.
Depends. Wings, I go blue cheese, but ranch overall.
I'll have both, but I prefer ranch.
Sharnik 1 says, why would Lindsay discuss her sex on TV like that? Why not just lie?
Well, two parts here. One, because she wants to paint a certain picture that they're not having sex and Carl can't keep up with her sex drive. One. Two, it's a reality show. And, you know, they're going to talk about this stuff. I think that's it.
Yeah, no, I think it's as simple as that. I think... there could be an ulterior motive here, like I kind of hinted at earlier with Lindsay, where she's putting it out there so that she doesn't look like a terrible person if the relationship does end. But I don't know. That's a lot of foresight. We'll do two more here. This is a fun one. Suze Grigg Brown says, Shooter and Steel, it's your turn to throw a party at Summer House. What are your themes?
Ooh, Jorts party.
Just a Jorts party?
Jorts party.
Oh. I mean, I would do either an I Think You Should Leave themed party, where you have to show up as, like, your favorite skit.
That'd be a great one, but I don't know how well that would resonate with everybody there.
No, probably not. Well, I'm just saying.
I think the house members would do a good job, but you got to think that they always invite all those randos over.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
I would be upset if people didn't, like, if you didn't go all in on that one. I would be upset.
I mean, you could go a little more mainstream and do, like, like a Harry Potter party or something.
Harry Potter's fun. If you need it more in depth than
like a Mario party where you do like all the characters from the,
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I would probably do like a Redneck Yacht Club type deal.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah. That would be probably my
very subjective in nature.
Yeah, you can kind of do with it what you want.
I'm into that. Last one here, and this is a question for Steele from Sophie R. Brown. How did Steele land the sickest Airbnb of all time? Yeah. Or do we credit Dev?
No, that one was me. We found a different one. We wanted to stay by the Colosseum on our last 2 days in Rome. And we found one that was close. And then as I went to book that one, this other one popped up. And it had like a view of the Colosseum. And it was like one of those rare finds that's booked for like the entire year. And for whatever reason, they had those 2 days available. So it was a little pricier, but I snagged that one, and it was well worth it.
There you go.
Well worth
it. Looked worth it for me. But that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, I'm going to go eat a cheesesteak and
hell yeah.
Sleep. I got to go to the gym and work tomorrow, too. Man.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell welcome yeah. back.
Right back into it. Rob Bros are out of here.
See ya.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.